Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Things like Tom Brady lumbering, I mean scrambling, to pick up a first down against the Panthers. Something you never ever see. And then there are things that you never want to see. Like Cam Newton leaving Foxborough in a walking boot. Ian Rappaport reported that it's a midfoot sprain. Now, Cam has taken more hits than any quarterback in the NFL dating back to 2011. He's already getting pounded, and the season hasn't even started yet. And if protecting him was not already an issue, one of his offensive linemen left with a concussion. Again, something you never want to see. A former MVP leaving the game, a preseason game. Hey, you want to know the very best way to protect your best and most important player? You want to know the best way to do that? Don't play him in the preseason at all. That's how you protect your best player. That's how you protect your most important player. Don't play him. Meantime, in the discussion of concussions, you also have Washington's Jordan Reed. He was evaluated after he suffered one against Atlanta. DJ Clark left Jacksonville's game with a concussion after he dented his skull. And then you've got the case of Robert Kemdichie. He was released by the Cardinals for being in terrible shape as he worked his way back from an injury. He was then signed by the Dolphins, and it does not sound like he's gotten in much better shape. Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald tweeted, "Robert Kemdichie, who joined the Dolphins a couple of weeks ago, is on active PUP. He does not seem to be in any sort of football shape. Tried to run gassers pregame and could not complete a run across the field and all the way back." End of tweet. Keep in mind that run across the field is just over 50 yards, right? So that's not good. You know you're in horrible shape when somebody asks you to run across the field the short way and you're unable to do it. If you can't run just over 54 yards without taking a knee, this probably is not the game or the job for you. Time to find another line of work. If the coaches ask you to run across the field the short way, and they've got to roll the golf cart in before you're done, you're in the long run, wrong line of work. If you can't finish a run across the short way of the field without a skateboard or a golf cart or crutches or a wheelchair, timeout, timeout, substitution for Robert. Bro, that's not good. That's not good. Because of all the insanity of the short fields, and the exhibition games, let me tell you something. I need some music here, Avi. That's it. Give me the bed. The bed for the insanity and the short fields and the wind. Because nothing, despite everything I've already talked about and I saw last night, nothing will ever top the Green Bay Packers playing the Oakland Raiders in Winnipeg on an 80-yard field. That's right. You heard me. An 80-yard field. Two NFL teams played an NFL game on an 80-yard field. And no, that's not a joke. Well, actually, that is a joke. One of the biggest jokes ever. And a complete embarrassment. But it is real. And it really was in Canada. And it really did involve the Raiders. How does a team end up playing in Winnipeg on an 80-yard field? The answer is so exhibition. So Raiders. And so infinitely whack. You see, according to reports, the Raiders did not have an official lease in Oakland at the time the exhibition season schedule was announced. So when they were given a home game for week three, they didn't actually have a home. And then on top of that, the A's were playing in the Coliseum this week, so they had to find another location. You know, because it would have been completely ridiculous to play football on a baseball field, right? That can't happen. So they allegedly reached out to Edmonton, Honolulu, Regina, and what a decision it was. It worked out great. It turns out the plan to move the goalposts from the CFL spot to the NFL spot did not go so well. And there were holes on the field. So? And? What? Is that a problem? Is having a hole in the field a big deal? Yeah, I guess so, because apparently, there were crews working to repair the field up to 20 minutes before kickoff, which might be my favorite part of all. Again, how's that possible? Did they just find out that there was going to be a game last night? Like, oh, crap, that's tonight? Damn, I didn't know that. Why didn't somebody tell me? I got to get my ass to the field. They kick in an hour. Like, how's that possible? Especially when the powers that be are constantly trying to sell us on how important the exhibition season is, trying to tell us that the exhibition season is critical, something that we have to take seriously. Yeah, well, not if you're playing on 80-yard fields. It's not. Not if the coaches see that 80-yard field and immediately rip every one of their starters from the game. It's not. How the hell was that issue not addressed ahead of time? How was it not addressed in advance? How was one of the first questions not, hey, what are we going to do about the giant holes in the field when we take out those goalposts? And no, I don't want to get into a back and forth about who's to blame because it really doesn't matter. What matters is before the game started, the NFL had to release a special statement. A statement which said they were playing on a special field. And by special, I mean, quote, reconfigured. What an awesome job. Great job. Great effort. Everybody. One of the worst looks ever. And I love it. I love that they had to put out that statement and they had to spin. How are you feeling if you paid good, hard-earned Canadian money to see an exhibition game between these two legendary teams? And then you have to watch it on a, quote, reconfigured field. Man, it takes a big brass set of gonad to call an 80-yard field a reconfigured field. That'd be like the NBA having a game with no hoops and calling it a reconfigured court. And best of all, I love that the 10-yard line was the goal line. I love the fact that they had to get rid of kickoffs and replace them with the ball being given to the receiving team. They should have just had a punt, pass, and kick competition in the parking lot and called it a night. It would have been so much less embarrassing. Then again, if they did that, we would have missed out on the Raiders and fullback Keith Smith scoring a touchdown and not knowing that he scored a touchdown. Let me set the play up for you. One of my favorite plays ever. The Raiders offense has the ball at the 15. No, I mean at the 5. And they strike pay dirt at the 10. Goal line. Roll it.
Second down and goal from the 15. Play action. Throwing on it is Smith hanging on. Touchdown, Raiders.
That's an old key play out of John Gruden's staple called Spider 3.
I don't know about you, but I've watched that play 24 times. It makes me laugh out loud every single time. That is one of my all-time favorite highlights. Everything about it.
Laugh
calling the 15-yard line, the 5-yard line, and Smith battling for extra yards, even though he's already in the end zone. And the reason he's battling for extra yards is he doesn't know he's in the end zone. That might go down as the greatest play in Raider history. I know it's going to go down as the greatest play in Jim Rome history. That's the reason I got into this business decades ago, so I could see and talk about plays like that. As Smith said afterwards, if you watch the play, I didn't stop when I scored. I thought I had 8 more yards to go. It had a backyard footballish feel to it. Yeah, backyard footballish or back asswards-ish. Man, that could not have been any more backwards or any more backwoods than it was. They should have just made Aaron Rodgers the all-time quarterback, and then he could have played for both teams on that short field. Except he didn't play at all. Again, because they were on a short field. And then maybe most ridiculous of the entire thing was this tweet from the Raiders after the game. The Raiders tweeted, quote, "Thank you for your incredible hospitality and kindness, Winnipeg. It was a night we won't forget." How bonehead is that? Or one that read in part, quote, "The Raiders offense finished with a 67% red zone efficiency and a 100% conversion rate on fourth downs," end quote. Man, that is so awesome. Piece of advice, though, maybe you don't hype the red zone stats when the entire field is a red zone. And no, this is not me bashing Winnipeg or Canada. I don't need your jokes about how an 80-yard field is correct given the conversion rate, or that the stadium owners must have shortchanged the construction crew in pelts on payday. Everybody knows the risks of driving drunk. You could get in a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But why don't we take a moment and look at some surprising stats? Nearly 29 people in the United States die every day in alcohol-impaired vehicle crashes. That's one person every 50 minutes. Even though drunk driving fatalities have fallen by a third in the past three decades, drunk driving crashes still claim more than 10,000 lives each year. Many people are unaware that driving while high can be just as dangerous. In fact, in 2015, 42% of drivers killed in crashes tested positive for drugs. In other words, it's not so harmless after all, is it? And get this, from 2007 to 2015, marijuana use among drivers killed in crashes actually doubled. The truth is, driving while high is deadly. Stop kidding yourself about this. If you're impaired from alcohol or drugs, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Drive sober or get pulled over. Cornhuskers quarterback Adrian Martinez. Adrian, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So good to have you. Now, there are so many things that I would love to talk to you about, whether it's playing high school ball in Clovis or how you showed up last year or the expectations for this year. But why don't we start like right where we are now, 8 days from the start of the season. How has camp gone for you and how eager are you to get back on the field?
Camp's gone great. Just a huge difference from year one, myself, the whole team, feeling really confident, just happy to be done with fall camp and eager to get out there for game one and just prove ourselves.
All right, so from a team perspective, how different does preparing for this year feel compared to preparing for last year when you were a freshman and Scott Frost was in his first year as head coach?
Yeah, I think just as a team, as a unit, we know so much more about our schemes, our jobs on the field, and we just get how to do the little things better. And I think that can just make a huge difference. And our team has seen a jump physically too. And we're a lot more confident. We know what we're doing and just real excited to get out there.
We're talking Adrian Martinez. Now, in talking about last year, you made the point that, quote, being a freshman, you need to know it wasn't my team yet. It just wasn't. You need to continue to earn that in practice each day in the weight room, whether it's a game day, whether it was, whenever. It's something you need to continue to earn, end quote. So, I mean, you have to do it over time, of course. But how do you go about earning that respect? How do you look to do that?
Yeah. Well, I believe that leadership is performance and performance is leadership. And that's a quote from my quarterback coach. And really what that means is you have to go out and perform on the field and then lead by setting that standard each and every day. You know, if you don't go out and perform each game, each practice in the weight room, off the field, then you have no credibility to go hold your teammates accountable. And that's really just the way I approached it. You know, starting off last year, they hadn't seen me play. I hadn't had a chance to earn it completely yet. And then over time, you know, I took more and more leadership role. And then this off season, I really took a charge at it head on. And I think I've taken on that role and made it my own this off season.
We're talking to Adrian Martinez, quarterback in Nebraska. Now, being the quarterback at Nebraska is one of the truly iconic and special positions in all of college football. What's it mean to you to be the quarterback of that team and to play in front of those fans specifically?
I mean, it's an honor and something I definitely don't take lightly. There's been many greats before me, Tommy Frazier, Eric Crouch, Scott Frost, my own head coach, and I'm very thankful and wanting to represent every one of those people the right way with my play. And I know how much it means to the fans here. And that's why I'm just doing my very best to get better each day and put on a good product on the field.
You know, being from California, as you are, I'm kind of curious how you feel about this, because I know the passion of Nebraska fans because I've hosted this show and I've talked to them for so many years. But I remember the first time that I went to that state, and I remember how blown away I was by their passion, by their knowledge, by what that program and what that team meant to them. How would you describe the love that they have for Nebraska football and for the players?
It's hard to, you know, it's unlike anything I've ever experienced. You know, like you said, coming from California, it's just different. It means more out here, and they truly love the players and just the game of football. And it's something I'm very thankful to be a part of. And just the hospitality, the people out here are amazing. And I'm just real thankful to be here and be a part of it.
Adrian Martinez, my guest. You mentioned Scott Frost. Now, when Scott Frost and his staff arrived at Nebraska, you were the very first recruiting call that they made. You were somebody he identified when he was at UCF, but he didn't meet you until he was at Nebraska. What do you remember about the first time the two of you met, and what kind of an impression did he make on you?
Yeah. Well, they had recruited me at UCF, and I had talked to him on the phone before. I really liked them as a staff, but UCF didn't really feel like a good fit for me. When they got to Nebraska, obviously, things kind of changed. Everything lined up in the perfect way, and when he got to meet my family, it was pretty much an instant click. Coach Frost is one of the most humble, down-to-earth men I know, a great human being, and my parents loved him, and that was kind of a big deal for me. And that's something I think a lot of people realize when they meet him. He doesn't try and put on this big old persona. You know, he's just a down-to-earth guy who's a people's person and a really good football coach.
You know, Adrian, it's pretty clear talking to you right now and watching you last year especially, but one of the things that keeps coming up from people around the program and around the sport is how comfortable you are, how mature you are at a young age. How do you explain that? Where does that come from?
I really just have to draw that back to my parents and the way I was raised and growing up in Fresno, California, living in Clovis, you know, just my dad. I think he taught me the right way and really showed me what hard work is and, you know, earning his way to where he is now and taking care of my family. So, you know, I try and emulate him. I try and emulate some of the great people I have in my life, and, you know, they lead the way.
You know, it's such high praise for your father. The truth is also, when you were young, your mother, who was an assistant U.S. attorney in the Fresno office, passed away. What was she like as a person, and what kind of an impact did she have on you?
Yeah, well, an impact that's still with me to this day. You know, I strive to make her proud with every move I make. You know, I know she's looking down on me, and it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for my dad, my family, myself. But my dad showed me how to work hard and be resilient, you know, how to respond to adversity. And you know, as a little 10-year-old boy, when something like that happens, you know, first person you look to is your dad. And you know, I can't thank him enough for the example he set for me. And really, I think it dictated how the rest of my life would play out, you know, and just how to work hard and battle through some adversity.
Really powerful stuff. Adrian Martinez joining us. You know, I can make the argument that as a team, it might have been easy for you guys to pack it in and give up on the season when you got off to kind of a tough start, but then you finished strong. You won 4 of your last 6. You nearly beat number 10 Ohio State in their place. So as you look back on last season, and in particular that second half, what kind of thoughts do you have about the team and the toughness?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm confident in our guys, and I think it really just speaks volumes to the type of guys we have in our team right now and the coaching staff. They didn't give up on us, and they remained confident in the guys that we have and knew what we were capable of before maybe we even we did. You know, finishing the season out strong, it kind of gave us that confidence going into winter conditioning. But after that, I think we've just worked really hard and just kind of built upon that strong finish that's led us to this point, the confidence that we have right now.
And we talked about Fresno and we talked about Clovis. People in that community there still talk about how special your mother was and how special your entire family is, and that when you were in high school, you suffered a shoulder injury and it required surgery, and it was not clear if your arm strength would ever fully return. How were you able to overcome that and rise above it? And what do you remember about that time?
Yeah, it was tough, real tough. You know, I suffered that shoulder injury my junior year, and it didn't allow me to play my senior season, which was really hard. You know, growing up, going to the same middle school, high school, growing up with the same few kids, missing out on our senior season really hurt me, and it was a challenging experience, but one that I was able to get through because of my family, because of my close friends, and some of the adversity that I'd been through in the past. I never gave up, and I didn't lose my faith. You know, there was a question, there was some doubt at the very beginning if I was going to be the same player, but I was able to bounce back and regain that confidence, and I think become an even better player because of the people around me who did believe in me when I didn't believe in myself, and just able to regain that confidence and bounce back.
Adrian Martinez, my guest. Last thought, you, when you look back at last season, and I bring this up again, I know you're looking ahead, but the win over Michigan State, that was a 9-6 win, and I've heard you, in fact, you told Mitch Sherman this, that that was your favorite moment from last fall. It's a game where you threw for a total of 145 yards, but it really was a battle. Why was that game such a source of validation? Why was that your favorite moment?
You know, pretty easy. I don't know if watching it on TV could really do it justice. It was windy, snowing. We were playing at the time, I think, the number one rush defense in the country, and we weren't able to throw the ball. So it was a tough game, and we didn't score until the fourth quarter. But I was just most proud of my guys and the team for battling through it and finding a way to win. That's what the good teams do. They find a way regardless of the situation, regardless of, you know, whatever factors we can't control. We found a way to win. Our kicker, who's also my roommate, you know, made three field goals to put us ahead, and it was a great moment, great way to send out our seniors, and a real special moment in my mind.
This episode of the Jim Rome Podcast is brought to you by CBS Sports HQ. Look, I think we're all aware that sports TV nowadays is full of made-up drama, beating the same topics into the ground, hot takes from people who don't even believe what they're spewing. But CBS Sports HQ is here to change all of that. CBS Sports HQ is a network that streams live 24/7, and they have coverage that is only focused on the game. They bring you the latest news, highlights, previews, and reactions to all the on-the-field action. Their fantasy sports experts will give you all the info you need to make the right calls for your lineup. Their betting experts will help you cash in on your wagers. In other words, no fake debates, no politics, just sports for real sports fans. And best of all, it's free. And I don't mean free for a week or a month, or you have to have some special cable package. I mean totally and completely free for everybody. You don't even need a login. All you do is open up the CBS Sports app and watch anytime, from anywhere, on your phone or at home, on your Apple TV, Roku, or Fire TV. Couldn't be any easier. Just download the CBS Sports app and watch CBS Sports HQ today. All right, so for the first time in a long time, Conor McGregor showed up. He showed up somewhere and he did not sucker punch an old man or sucker punch a bus window or sucker punch a phone out of somebody's hand. In fact, even better, he showed up and did an interview with Ariel Helwani, and he actually seemed to be owning all of that boorish behavior. Remember, this is the same guy who was once on record as saying that he would apologize to absolutely nobody.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
So now, a seemingly contrite Conor was looking to apologize to just about everybody, starting with the old guy that he dotted in that bar in Dublin.
I was in the wrong. That man deserved to enjoy his time in the pub without having it to end the way it did. And although 5 months ago it was, and I tried to make amends, and I made amends back then, it's still, the fans don't even, that does not even matter. I was in the wrong. I must come here before you and take accountability and take responsibility. And I owe it to the people that have been supporting me. I owe it to my mother, my father, my family. I owe it to the people who trained me in martial arts. That's not who I am. That's not the reason why I got into martial arts or studying combat sport. The reason I got into it was to defend against that type of scenario.
Isn't that interesting? That's not the reason I got into that. In fact, I got into it to prevent that type of thing. So if you're surprised by that response, I think that you've got every reason to be, because that sounds like a different Conor McGregor. He wasn't defiant. He wasn't angry at the old man. He wasn't blaming the old dude for smashing Conor's fist with his face. He did not say the old man had that coming to him because he disrespected the former double champ when he refused his offer of a free shot. I mean, sure, he would have been the biggest dope ever if he did say those things, but it's not what he said. And not only is it not what he said, it's how he said what he said. It sounded, and I want to stress, sounded. It sounded sincere. It sounded contrite. It sounded like he's owning all the stupid things he's done since coming out of nowhere to become the biggest thing in the world. Now, time will tell. I don't know if he's just telling the world, and Dana White, for instance, what they want to hear, or if he actually believes what he's saying. In other words, is he really sorry for what he's done, or is he sorry for the position he finds himself in? Like, I really want to believe the guy. Just like I really want to believe that he understands that he's on the verge of bleeping it all up. Bleeping, losing everything. And that he is trying to change that. Again, he has to say these things. The question is, does he actually believe what he's saying? I'll say it sounds like he does. See, a thing that's always been baffling about Connor acting like a moron and doing dumb things is that he's not a dumb guy. He's actually a smart guy. A smart guy who has done some really dumb things, like punching old dudes in bars in arguments over whiskey. So Ariel asked Connor if he had an anger problem.
I need to just stop reacting to the bait. I've got to ask, like, people are trying to bait me into things. Am I the fish or am I the whale? I must be calm. I must be zen. I must lead by example. There's so many people looking up to me. How can I react in this way? I need to get a hold of this. And I'm working very hard to do this.
Right. Am I the fish or am I the whale? Exactly. I'll tell you what you are. What you are is a target. You know, like all super famous, wealthy people. A target who somebody will always try to hook. Unfortunately, right now, you're the fish. You know, and there are dudes throwing their lines off a pier, and they keep hooking that same fish that keeps coming up for the bait. But the fact that he seems to know this, finally, and is talking about this, leads me to believe that he's done some level of work on himself, some level of work on his mind, something Dana White suggested on this show last week that Connor has to do right now.
You know what, Jim? You get to the point where you look at a guy like Connor, and you look at the bus incident in New York, right? And all the other, the camera, the phone, the guy took the picture of him in Miami, and he slaps the phone. What's the number? What's it going to cost Connor McGregor before he decides, all right, this isn't worth it. Enough is enough. I need to stop doing this. You know, the incident in New York cost him millions he had to pay out. You know, he had to pay the guy with the phone. What's he going to pay this guy that he hit in the bar? And the list just goes on and on. And I just don't know when he wakes up and says, I've got to stop doing this.
Yeah, so it sounds like he has. Maybe Connor gets it. Maybe this is where he pulls the plane up right before it slams into the side of a mountain. Better be, because as Dana also said last week, man, we've seen this play out hundreds of times before, and it never ends well.
I mean, we've all seen this story before. This isn't new. We saw this movie. We read this book, whatever the deal is. If you stay down that path, it definitely doesn't end well.
Never. So maybe that interview with Ariel was a sign that Connor has seen that movie. He has read that book. Maybe it has a different ending. Maybe he'll wake the hell up before he loses everything that he worked for. Like, I hope so. Because while no one person is bigger than the sport, something Connor did not understand before, but maybe does now, that sport is still better, way better when he is squared away. He's still one of the best gladiators I've ever seen. He still has one of the best backstories that I've ever heard, and he still might be the single greatest showman in all of sports right now. Hey, Connor, you've said all the right things. Now prove that you mean them by doing the right things. Double champ sounds a hell of a lot better than double dope. Like, I love the guy. I'm pulling hard for the guy. I hope this guy truly is doing the hard work. I hope this guy truly believes what he's saying, and I hope this guy can prove that he can be that guy all over again. I'm still a little skeptical, but I'm hopeful. Man, do it, Connor. Let's see what you got, Connor. Stop punching old guys in the face, Connor. Save it, as Dana White said. If you're going to punch guys in the face, get paid for it. We are joined by TJ Watt. TJ, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing really well, man. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
So good to have you. I appreciate you doing it. So last night was a tough night in preseason games because a number of guys went down with injuries. I'm curious, how do you go about approaching those games? Are you able to get the good work done, or is it just about getting through them and getting to the regular season without getting nicked?
To be honest with you, I look forward to them. I look forward to getting out there and having an opportunity to go up against a different team. I know it's different for everybody. Certain people have joint practices. We didn't have one in Pittsburgh this year, so to be able to go up against somebody with a different color jersey on is a great opportunity for me. And obviously last year I wasn't able to do any preseason, so this year I'm excited to be able to play.
I like that. T.J. Watt joining us. All right, so you said recently that you love how the defense is playing right now. What have you seen particularly as it relates to the speed that everybody is playing with, and what are you so excited about when it comes to the defense right now?
Yeah, you just said it, the speed. I think compared to last year, this year's defense is just overall a lot more faster. We're a lot quicker, and like I said, football is being a lot more of a speed game. Guys are getting a little bit smaller at positions, and we got a new asset, obviously, in Devin Bush with the 10th overall pick this past year, and he's been able to fly around and clean up a lot of the missed tackles. And if you look back to last year, we had a lot of missed tackles as a unit. And whenever you get guys in the back end and at the second level that can fly around and clean up those missed tackles, you're going to be a lot better of a defense.
T.J. Watt joining us. What about you and Bud Dupree? It seems like the two of you have developed a great chemistry since you joined the team. What's it like playing with him, and how would you describe the connection that the two of you have on the field?
Yeah, Bud's a really special player. He's an athletic freak. He can jump high. He can run fast. He can rush the pass. He can drop in coverage. He can do a multitude of things. And we're both really settling into our sides. Last year was both of our first times playing him primarily on the right side, me primarily on the left side. And I think that this is going to be a really special year for the both of us. And we're just going to try to meet at the quarterback together as many times as we possibly can this year.
We're talking to T.J. Watt. Now, you're coming off a year where you had 13 sacks and 6 forced fumbles. It's one of the best seasons a Steeler linebacker's had in a long time. And if we're talking about one of the best seasons for a Steeler linebacker, we're talking about one of the best seasons for any linebacker in a long time. What's it mean to you to see your name mentioned with some of the great Steeler linebackers of old?
Obviously, it's a great honor to be in the same discussion as those linebackers, but I have a lot to prove. You know, I'm very hungry to show consistency. I think that's the biggest thing at this level is anyone can go out there and have a good game or a good season. It's a matter of putting them back-to-back and stacking good season on top of good season, showing that you're consistently a good football player.
You know, I get this. I understand that. And I know you also, you're not into individual stats or individual honors. You pointed this out that the only stat that really matters is that you didn't make the playoffs. So how bad of a taste did that leave in your mouth, and how much does that motivate you for this year?
Yeah, obviously it sucks. We had a two or three weeks longer of an offseason than we had last year. And being at home, watching other people play, specifically my brothers play, obviously it was awesome to watch them play. But I wish we were in the playoffs as a Steelers. So I feel like we definitely have a bad taste in our mouth from last year, and we're going to go out here this year motivated more than ever and just go out here and treat each and every game like it's the biggest game of our lives.
TJ, the other thing is last year you moved from the right side of the defense to the left side. For those who do not know, what is the biggest difference between playing on the left side as opposed to being on the right side?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me from being on the left is being able to see the quarterback. Most of the quarterbacks in the NFL are right-handed quarterbacks, so being able to see their eyes and see where they're looking while they're throwing and being able to see when they're throwing to get my hands up in the passing game or just to be able to diagnose if he's actually hanging the ball off or if it's a play-action pass. And then also just from a comfortability standpoint for me, I just feel way more bendy and agile on the left side as opposed to the right.
All right, now you didn't make the postseason last year. There was no playoff run, but you did go to the Pro Bowl, and you talked about how you used it as a chance to learn from other guys and to get better. Who were some of the guys that you talked to, and what was your biggest takeaway from that time?
Yeah, we talked to guys like Von Miller, Dee Ford, and guys like that, just guys that I've watched be able to have great moves, like Melvin Ingram. He's got a great spin move. I'm just trying to take away a simple move that I can come back and obviously this OTAs try out more things in this fall camp. I've been able to just try new things and not be afraid to fail, and that's the biggest thing at this level. You just want to find little areas where you can get better. And if you're not going to try new things, then what's the point of even going out there and playing? So I think this time of year, like you say, the preseason is important for me because I want to go out there and try some new moves that I'm not necessarily ready to use for the regular season yet. So that's what I'll be doing this preseason.
Steelers linebacker T.J. Watt joining us. Now, the team's wide receiver coach, Darrell Drake, sadly passed away earlier this month. I know that he was on the other side of the ball, so you might not have had as much interaction with him. But what kind of memories do you have of him, and how has the team gone about supporting each other during this time?
Yeah, it's a very somber time around the facilities. Coach Drake was a huge supporter of all of us in this team, and obviously a phenomenal coach, but a great mentor. He always was so upbeat and positive. I don't think anyone had a bad thing to say about him. He's very sadly missed, but I feel like his passing has brought not only the receiver group, but this whole team together as a whole. And I feel like overall we have a great sense of purpose and pride in being able to pick each other up in such down moments. So it's definitely brought us together as a unit with the circumstances, sadly.
T.J. Watt joining us for another moment or two. I mentioned that you played your college ball at Wisconsin. Many know that. Now, my son, T.J., is going to be a freshman there this year. In fact, this weekend, he's going to Madison to start school. We're sending our firstborn to Madison this weekend. I got to ask, what do you remember about your time at Wisconsin? What was it like for you?
That's awesome. It was a phenomenal syllabus week. the Union Terrace is such an awesome place to hang out, especially this time of year. And I just think Madison is such a beautiful town, especially in the fall. And it's just such a great town. It's a great college town. I think we'll have a blast and obviously get up to some football games and jump around a little bit.
Yep, that's part of the reason we're sending him there. Now, last month you tweeted, quote, "It is tough to beat a Culver's concrete on a hot summer day. It's a Wisconsin thing." For those who have never had Culver's, what is it and what makes the Culver's concrete so good?
Culver's is custard. I don't know if a lot of people know truly what custard is. It's like ice cream, but it's a lot more buttery and soft. It is so delicious. And then you pair it with a butter burger, which is just a burger just absolutely buttered down with a nice buttered bun as well. And then you get some cheese curds that are just fried cheese balls, and you dip them in marinara or ranch, and you have yourself an absolutely phenomenal meal on a summer day.
It's how'd you go about that when you were there and you were just locked into your grind and you're making good choices both on and off the field? How could you like reconcile that? Was that a cheat day? Was that when you were young? Could you just burn right through that? How did you approach those meals then?
Yeah, when you're younger, you can burn right through it. And when I was younger, I'd always brag to my older brothers that I can still eat this stuff, even though they can't when they were in the NFL and I wasn't. But nowadays, you have to build it in, because otherwise you'll get turned away and try to eat it a few times a week, and that's just a big no-no for me.
I love the way you got to build that thing in. Last thought, you know, you mentioned your brothers, and I was not going to, but you did mention them. And there's something about this family. You guys, this is such a determined, motivated, locked-in family. Are you guys wired like this? Was it hammered into you early on? Where does this drive come from?
Yeah, I think our parents really kind of instilled in us the work ethic and being that you can get wherever you want to be. You just have to be able to put in the work and the time to be able to get to the NFL. And I think we did a really good job of taking it one step at a time. We always say growing up, we just really want to be varsity football players. And once you get to be a varsity football player, you want to go into college. And then just like that, you take the steps. And now when you're in the NFL, you want to be the best outside linebacker. And you just take those steps. And just being able to take it one step at a time and truly put in the work. And we motivate each other. We're each other's best supporters. So anytime I can sit down on the couch and watch them play, it's the best time for me.
Say, ever wonder where your family comes from? I mean, we all do, right? Well, you can discover more about them and learn about your story by combining the Ancestry DNA test with billions of historical family records. This is awesome. This is really fascinating. It's great because Ancestry DNA gives you so much more than just the places you're from. Ancestry connects you to the places in the world where your story actually started. And they're able to do so by using precise geographic detail and clear-cut historical insights. I mean, as an example, you can even trace your ancestors' journeys over time. You can follow how and why your family moved from place to place. And to amplify your results, you can start a free trial on Ancestry and build a tree so your ancestors become more than just a name. They've combined DNA results with over 100 million family trees, billions of records to give you more insight into your genealogy and origins. And because of this, only Ancestry can tell such a rich story with unique features that give a more complete picture about a person. You know, like events that shaped them, how they made a living, and what they excelled in. All of that. Just go to Ancestry.com/podcast right now and get 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit. Once again, Ancestry.com/podcast and get 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit. Ancestry.com/podcast. You're going to love this. Do this right now. Ancestry.com/podcast. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome.
Hey, very good Monday to you. What's up, clones?
Hope you had a great weekend. NFL, MMA, Major League Baseball, little NBA. Lots to get to. All right, starting with Antonio Brown. The Raiders had been over backwards to accommodate this guy. Now they're just bent.
Yeah! He's pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief.
At this point, AB stands for always boring.
Time for him to be all in. We're all out.
This is an Antonio Brown free zone. Jason, locking for a...
There is no retirement. Give him a five-day letter and he'll never report and, you know, we'll... It's just not... He's going to play football for them.
He ain't no West Coast gangster. You know what I'm saying?
Here's your game plan. Go in there. Hit him with some good bleep. Don't get hit. And come home with a pocket full of cash.
That's a good idea.
So my take is, I would like to see him retire.
I dread.
If he feels really strongly that he has unfinished business, I'm good with that too. Personally, I don't think he has anything to prove. Anthony Lynn is my guest. Melvin Gordon has not been in camp, but do you expect him to be there when the regular season starts?
I don't know. Melvin and I, we've spoken. We've had good conversations.
So I'm curious, what's that conversation like?
Just let him know that we miss him and that he's a big part of what we're trying to get done here.
Proper Irish whiskey.
It's a week in Ireland a couple years ago, and not drinking whiskey that someone gives you is a reason to go over there, Jim.
You little fanboy bitch.
I can't blame Connor for giving that old man the hand.
Dino Babers.
Let me say this, Jim. You are strong on your research.
I love that quote.
Jim, you're killing me. I can't come on your show anymore, man. All you do is just cut me open and just make me pour out in front of everybody. Stop it. You had me at hello. You're not going to get me to cry. I'm not going to cry, Jim.
Hey, Daniel.
Daniel?
Have some. Imagine you're Daniel Jones, minding your own business, walking along, and then Baker comes flying through the wall like the Kool-Aid man and lights you the hell up.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Long is joining us.
The gin and tonic life has been good. I'm just a baby, man. You know what I mean? Somebody served me a gin and tonic at a My Morning Jacket concert, and I was blown away. One of the lead dogs in my arsenal.
Probably your best negotiator with Zeke.
Zeke.
That's offensive. It must be so awesome to be that rich that you can say something that lame and folks react to it like it's the funniest thing ever.
What do you mean?
Wisnowski made the tackle.
Kyle Whittingham.
He made some of those plays on kickoff for us as well, and he could have played linebacker for us.
This is the first generation of kids that will not outlive their parents.
I don't know from experience, but I would imagine outliving your children is the worst thing ever. And this guy just told an entire nation that an entire generation of parents are going to do it.
I seen Tyson's fate, and he's looking at me with his teeth going, argh.
I just visualized Lennox saying, I looked down at Tyson, he was like, argh.
I just got a brand new suit and I had to throw it away.
We're talking to Herm Edwards.
Coaches don't give players talent. God gives them talent. What you give them is knowledge. I've never seen a player in any sport walk onto a floor of competition wanting to play bad. I've never seen that. How do you make
I learned magic for 8 years.
Yeah, I don't care if that guy weighs 390. I don't care if he can play basketball. Bring him in.
Sponsor!
You don't want that. You don't want to see that guy run with Bron. You don't want to see this guy standing on the sideline taking direction from assistant head coach Frank Vogel.
Got stung by the Hornets.
Ken Niematalolo is my guest.
If a guy feel like he's not all in, I'm going to call him in early. Are you all in or not? Are you okay with being in this position? If you're not, I'm cool with it. You can go play rugby, badminton, or do something else.
You mean you can't wait to leave that perfect, idyllic childhood that we made every sacrifice for so you could have? You can't wait to bust out of that?
Yep,
that. Exactly. Van Smack. Exactly that. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Duh. Bruh, what's up? How are you calling me?
If you need somebody to introduce you at the Hall of Fame, I'll be happy to do it. Come on.
Hey, Elk, have you seen that photo of Hefty?
A woman in the neighborhood is carrying about extra 40 or 50, and she says she's going to do a cleanse or she's going to go into yoga. And then you see her like 3 weeks later. She's dropped 20, and she's wearing a thong at the party on the corner barbecue cookout. This is called the big reveal.
Yeah, hey, air waiter. Give me a double henny and watch me light up the bro over in row 4.
The Jurassic Pork logo consists of only one old bone.
Ah! I'm 3 months pregnant and I'm hormonal as hell and I'm still not going to be a total whiny bitch like Jeff. Antonio and Marty and NoCal, I'm going to be a whiny bitch like them about it.
War lady chores.
That's not why I called. We went to a couple bars. I kept drinking and it was friggin' awesome.
until yesterday morning. I woke up with the devil buttholes of a hangover, man.
You said cocaine's coming up. Don't need to relapse, so I'm going to run.
Adrian Martinez.
You know, I can't thank him enough for the example he set for me, and really I think it dictated how the rest of my life would play out, just how to work hard and battle through some adversity.
It's like ice cream, but it's a lot more buttery and soft. Chenin Blanc, brown.
Come on.
Thanks for putting a roof over my head. Thanks for coming to all my games.
Carpe diem, brother. Let's go. Let's go seize the day.
Good to be back, bro.
I like to meet guys on the internet and play tennis against them.
Stiff Knights.
Code Brown.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you down the road.
Ottawa! Ottawa!
Anytime you need me on, you just call. I'll be honored to be on.
Good night now!
Look, he's found some other legendary clones. Here he is. Rick in Buffalo. Brother Rick, what's going on?
Jim, what's up, brah?
Dude, talk to me, brah. How was your trip to SoCal?
A great time. Just for the record here, I didn't bring my entire family, just my wife and my girlfriends. I left the kids back in Buffalo. I'd never subject them to anything that I'm doing out here in HB. I'm having an awesome time. Now, let me say this. I'm starting to feel myself again. When I got here Wednesday night, man, I hit it hard. Rich Flores and Silk Bra, they had a cooler stocked up with some Jenny Cream Ales, some Heineken, and some Coors Light, and I started pounding immediately. Went out to dinner with my wife, probably the only time I've seen her in the last 3 days. Silk, he picked me up from there. We went to a couple bars. I kept drinking, and it was friggin' awesome. Until yesterday morning, I woke up with the devil buttholes of a hangover, man. It was bad, but I rallied through. The guys have been great. Rich and Silk have been generous, so generous. Last night, we went to Javier's. I got to meet the CEO and the webmaster. These guys were awesome. They picked up the tab. I'm feeling 100% today. Let me tell you what's going on today. Going to hit the beach for about a six-mile run. Got to get the cardio in. Then we got, let's see, the Floaty Friday pool party. That's at 3 o'clock. Invite only. And one person who isn't invited, Beaks. All right, Beaks, you're not invited. We don't have enough water in the pool. We don't have enough food on the grill. So come to Kits. That's it. And when you get to Kits, I'm going to greet you by throwing Twinkies at you. We'll shed some attention on you, brother. And quickly here, let's see. Who was it? Caleb and Beaks doing that Fat Man weight loss competition. Beaks actually put on 10 pounds last month. How sad is that? How pathetic is that? It's going to be a blast tonight. So we got Kits at 8 o'clock tonight. And then tomorrow I head to Los Angeles. Dodgers-Yankees game Saturday and Sunday. So if you're there, DM me, hit me up. We'll try to meet up. And I just found out, Jim, I'm super pissed about this. They're wearing those stupid nicknamed black and white uniforms this weekend. Two of the greatest jerseys in the history of sports. Dodgers home, Yankees road, and they're wearing these kids' jerseys. That's why baseball's in trouble. That's why Manfred or whoever, the MLB Players Union, they got to get me on board. I'll fix the sport. I'm old school. I coach Little League. I get all the kids involved in baseball. That's how you do it. Not by wearing stupid jerseys with stupid nicknames on the back. If I see anyone from the Major League front office, I see a group of guys, I'm going to do what that Cincinnati Reds pitcher did against the Pirates and just go fight everybody. All right? So I'm pumped. Can't wait, Jim. Kids tonight at 8 o'clock. I hope to see everybody there.
Man, I'm proud of you, Rick. Rack him. Rick in Buffalo. Now, I have to admit, when he first started, and about halfway through that phone call, I thought Rick sounded pretty busted up. That's not the Rick I know. That's the Rick I know trying to be the Rick I know. But he sounded pretty busted up. He sounded pretty beaten up. However, Then I heard why he sounded the way he sounded. The way he laid that out when he got off the plane on Wednesday and went hard, went in, and just kept going and going and going and going. Angel in Virginia Beach. Angel, how are you? What's up?
Hey, hello. How are you doing, Mr. Rome?
Good, good, Angel. How are you?
Doing fine. My first time calling. Cool. I might be a little bit nervous. Hey, I just know you said you wanted some more lady clones to call, so here I am. My dream is to actually have you roast and totally annihilate me on air, so if it happens, dream come true. But before I get to my beef with you, I just wanted to say congrats on the Hall of Fame. It should have been years ago. Now, on to the beef I have. I'm 3 months pregnant, and I'm hormonal as hell, and I'm still not going to be a total whiny bitch like Jeff. And where is he from?
San Antonio, right.
Yeah, San Antonio and Marty and NoCal. I'm still not going to be a whiny bitch like them about it. I just want to say, pick up or Ryan left off yesterday as far as Rammstein, you know, you guys saying that they sucked and Du Hast was the worst song ever made. And, you know, that was released over here. I don't know why it wasn't truly the worst song, but they do have like a lot of really, really good songs. So I just wanted to kind of clear that up with you. But I totally agree with you on Nickelback, 100%. Always have, always will. That's pretty much all I wanted to say.
Angel, that was so good. What a great first time call that was. Let's go to the Crescent City. Trapper is next. Trapper, what's up?
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing, man? First, I just have to say, after 27 years on deck, I can't tell you how proud all of us are. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame, my brother. Little bit of Jungle Umbrella, the way it goes right now. What I'm trying to say is, Angel, great maiden voyage. Kay Savage, you rocked it. Matt and Tyler, you've been backing me with the cancer thing. I'll stand behind the Maple Leaf anytime. But I got to talk a little bit about just this last week. I'm in Oregon, new cancer treatment. Got a little bit of the Motel 6 blues out of nowhere. Clone Big Dave W from Eugene somehow finds me, drives 2 hours to take me to see Bruce's Blinded by the Light to pick me up. And then even better. 3 days later, I get a call from my brother Rick in Buffalo. Dude calls up. You know, we swap tales for 45 minutes. He is so jacked up for this trip to SoCal. What happens? Last night or night before, I talked to Richie the Fixer, my wheelman Silk, and there's my boy Rick. And they are so pumped up for tonight at Kits. But I got to tell you one thing. My East Coast brother, Rick, he offered to pay for my round trip airfare to be down there for the party. Bottom line, don't anybody ever try to tell you that this ain't family. You said cocaine's coming up. Don't need the relapse, so I'm going to run and have a good time tonight, boys. I'm there with you. Tramps like us, babe. I'm out.
Tramps like us. Trapper in the Crescent City.
Good night, now.